Okay, Rav Moshe, today's daf is Pesachim daf Kuf Tes, and as usual, our shiras in the schus Refu Shlema for Nami Mir Rav Hashanah Rav Karezel, and for Shira Bas Dvoralea, we are here at the bottom of Kuf Ches Amud Beis Tan Rabbanan, four lines up from the bottom, and the Gemara says like this: Kol Chayav Ba'arba Kosos Halalu. Everybody is Chayiv in Arba Kosos and Dalek Kosos. Echad anashim, ve'echad nashim, ve'echad tinokos. Men, women, and children. So the first thing that jumps off the bat is why in the world would children be chayiv in dalet kosos? And sure enough, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'chima to'eles yish le'tinokos b'yayin. Why in the world would you give kids wine? And obviously there's a lot of discussion in terms of, first of all, what age children we're talking about. Are we talking about higila chinuch? Right? Because if they're talking about kids who are higila chinuch, the age where you have to start educating them. So Rabbi Yehuda's question is confusing because l'maisa you should start educating them about the mitzvos. If you're talking about kids that are younger than higila chinuch, so then the Tanakama's position doesn't make any sense. Why in the world would you give kids who are, I don't know, 5 years old, right, wine to drink? And the Rishonim go back and forth and, discuss all many types of possibilities. It could be perhaps that, again, that the it seems according to the Rishpam, we're talking about Ketan Shalohi Giyal Chinuch, because if you look at, what's it called? I mean, because he says, Halu Ptur Min HaMitzvos, that's what the Rashbam qualifies or viewed his question is, why would you give kids wine? They're Pater from the Mitzvos. Well, if you're talking about kids who are older than chinuch age, right? So what do you mean? They're not, yes, they're pater from mitzvos, but you still should be mechanech them, right? You still buy a kid who's, 10, a lulav and esrog, so we try to teach them the mitzvah. So that doesn't seem to be the Rashbam, according to Rashbam, that we're talking about. Let's take one approach. We're talking about kids that are less than the age of chinuch. So what's the Tanakhama thinking that you should give them wine? So again, the Rashbam explains, shigam heim nigalu, they also were redeemed. But that doesn't really solve it, or sounds, at least to me, sound sufficient, because again, what's the point of 4-year-old having 4 cups of wine? So you could say perhaps that it's a din about the parents, that everybody at the table deserves to have wine, and that's a kiyum for them. But okay, right, again, obviously there's a lot more to look into here. What else did I want to say here? Right. Okay. Fine. Beseder. So that's so. Rabbi Yehuda says no. The Ela Mechalkin Lahem a Klayos Ve'Gozen. Right. But again, the point Rabbi Yehuda tries to make is that the point here is not to what's the chirus for kids? Right. What do they enjoy? Right. What are free kids like? Kids who are able to enjoy whatever they want. So Klayos Ve'Gozen. That's already the candies, right, that they used to have. Let's say some type of nuts and some type of candied nuts and some sort of grains that are toasted, etc. Erev Pesach, you give them that stuff on Erev Pesach. Kedei shelo yishnu, so that they won't go fall asleep. V'yishalu, and they'll ask questions at the Seder. And so you see that you keep them awake, right? You kind of again, there's no point in giving them wine, but we do give them other things that will kind of encourage their participation. Now, I had a Rebbe once asked, well, we have a lot of things that we do at the Seder to get the kids to ask, right? We have a lot of things we do. I had a Rebbe once, I remember, who said that getting the kids to ask is only half the battle, right? The parents need to have the answers. if the kids ask, why do we do this? And the parents are like, I don't know. So that's not the point, right? The point is that you should discuss the Yetzias Mitzrayim story. Okay, fine. So again, the goal of getting the kids to ask is not an end in and of itself, right? It's just a means to try and discuss Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let's just point that out. Okay. Anyway, Amru Alav Al Rabbi Akiva. They said about Rabbi Akiva, Shai Mechali Klayus Ve'Gozim Latinokos Be'Erev Pesach. Right? He, sure enough, he used to give out these candies to the kids in Erev Pesach. Kadei Shalom Yishnu V'Yishalu, so they won't fall asleep, and that they will ask questions. Tanya Rabbi Elezer, Amar Rabbi Elezer says, Chotvin matzos b'leili psachim b'shvil tinokos. Chotvin matzos literally means we grab the matzah, or they steal matzos. And again, here you run into all different types of explanations. The Rambam is perhaps the one that is the explanation you might have thought of right away, is the mucker for perhaps stealing the Afikomen, again, to keep them too excited. That's not exactly what the Rashbam or Rashi say. Rashi, if you just look at Rashi at the top line, so he says, Chotzen Matzah, what does that mean? That means Magbienes Ka'ara. You lift up the plates, the Seder plate. Okay. Or some people say that you eat very fast. Right, okay, fine. I think if I'm not mistaken, there's a shita that says chot ben mitzvos. Okay, either way, lamaisa, a bunch of explanations over here in terms of what exactly that means. But again, it's another thing to keep the kids awake and involved. Shalom yishner, so they don't fall asleep. Tanya on the nebraisa, amro olav al rabbi kiva miyam avlo higia eis lamur besamedrish, chutz miyar ripsachem ve'erev yom kippur. Rabbi Akiva never said that anybody should leave the besamedrish except on Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. Why? Erev Pesach, right? Bishvil Hatinoko, Shelo Yishnu, and for the kids who won't fall asleep. Right? Apparently, the fathers should go and put the kids to bed, right, to make sure that they should sleep. That doesn't, you know, it doesn't really make so much sense, right? Why can't the mothers do that? Okay, meaning the Rashbam does quote that it's referring to perhaps Limud HaTorah after nightfall, but all right, either way, but the preferred explanation, the first thing he brings is that, yeah, the father should talk and put the kids to sleep, to insist, I guess maybe he'll be firmer with them, I don't know, to make sure that they sleep so they'll stay up all night. Erev Yom Kippur, Kadesh Yochlus, but right, so to make sure that there's a meal there, that there's stuff, to make sure that there's food for everybody, right? Again, it's a big mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. Tanu Rabbanan learned in a braisa. Chayev Adam L'smarach Bonav Ruvnei Beso Beregel. A person is chayev to be mesameach the people in his house on the Yom Tov. Shneimer, as the pasuk says, v'samachta bechagecha. You have to be happy, right? Obviously, on the chag. B'mei mesamcham. What do you do to make them happy? So the Tanakhama says, b'yayin, with wine. Give everybody wine. Again, this seems to be a parallel of the Tanakhama that we saw in Amud Beis right at the beginning of today. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Anashim Baroy Lehem, V'Nashim Baroy Lehem. No, you have to do everybody with what fits. Right, with men, with what makes them happy, with women, with what makes them happy, what is that? So, anashim b'roi lehem b'yayin, right, for men, that's with wine. V'nashim, and for women, b'mai, so Tanya Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef taught, that b'bavel b'big day tzivonim, b'eretz Yisrael b'big day pishton meguhatzim. That in Bavel they would get nice colored clothes, and in Eretz Yisrael they would get nice linen, fresh pressed linen clothing, right? That's just what they used to wear on Yom Tov, right? Special clothing, depending on the custom of the locale where they were living. Tanya will learn in a Raisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseir, Omer b'zman shemesa beis hamikdash kaim in simcha ela b'basar. When you had the beis hamikdash, the simcha was by basar, with korbanos. Shemar, as the pasuk says, v'zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham, v'samachta elefnei Hashem elokecha. You'll shecht shlamim, right? And you'll be happy by Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, interestingly enough, Tosfos over here points out that pasuk is not by Yontif. It sounds like it's by Yontif, but it's not. He says the pasuk is there by Har Grizim and Har Eval. Okay, right. So he explains Yishlomar, if you look at that Tosfos right across, right, v'zavachta, mishum d'hacha behed yiksiv v'zavachta shlomim v'samachta. Right, so the connection between the for whatever reason is Gzer Shava, maybe perhaps not Gzer Shava, but maybe a connection between this pasuk and the mitzvah to be happy on Yom Tov. Okay, either way, that's the pasuk they quote. V'achshav she'in beis hamikdash kayim, but now they don't have the beis hamikdash in simcha ela b'yayin. Right, we're happy with wine. Shenamar v'yayin yisamach levav enosh. Right, wine will make the hearts of men happy. I'm Rabbi Yitzchak, Kasta de Morisa Hava Mitzipori. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to shift gears a little bit, or a lot of it, and get into a mathematical discussion that I, for the life of me, do not understand. As I've mentioned several times, my math is terrible. So I'm going to read through it, and I will refer you to the let's say, the Art Scroll or the Masifta, or perhaps even another Daf Yomi Shir, that, if you have time to listen to that, that will be able to fully explain this math calculation for you, but that'll take us on to Amud Beis. So let's get to it. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said that the Kasta de Moraisa, apparently the Kasta was a measurement, without giving a number, right? It was a measurement back in the day. Moraisa is fish grease or fish oil. Dehavu Tzipori, that was in Tzipori. So he havas kamin loga demikdasha. It was like the lug in the. It was the same measurement as the lug in the Beis Hamikdash. Uva misharin ruvias shel Pesach, and that's how you would figure out how much wine you need for dalad kosos. Right, again, you need a ruvias in each cup, Apparently, the Rashbam says that you could fill up this kasta and then pour it into individual cups, and you would get a revius in each cup if you did it equally. Apparently, this kasta held four reviuses. Reviuses, I guess, of wine or liquid. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Tamnaisa Kadmaisa, which is the original Tamnaisa measurement. Okay, the Hava B'Tveria that they used in Tveria, Hava Sesera Alda Revia, Uva Mishara in Revia Son Pasach, that said it was actually more, it was Revius more than the current, I guess, the Tamnaisa that they had in the days of Rabbi Yochanan, and that's how you could measure the Revius of Pesach, because when you take a cup that's the original Tamnaisa and pour it out, whatever is left, right, if it's a revius more than the current Tamnaisa, so then when you pour it all out, then you have a revius left in the cup, right, just like the water challenge in Die Hard, okay, Hamed in the oven. So, fine, so either, but the Maisa, but again, that's also how you can measure the revius for that you need to use on Pesach. That revius shel Torah, the revius that they refer to in the Torah, right? Again, that's certain halachos are shaykh to revius. Let's say, you know, the amount of blood that will be metame ba'ohel is a revius. Okay, other halachos. So it's by him. So now, here's the math, which I for the life of me, can't get. Etzbayim al etzbayim burum etzbayim v'chatzi etzba v'chomesh etzba. Basically, what that means is it's 2 by 2 by 2.7 etzbaos, which is finger breaths, right? Etzbayim al etzbayim, 2 by 2. Barom, with the width of etzbayim, two finger breaths, v'chatzi etzba, and a half, v'chomesh etzba, and a fifth, meaning 2.5 plus 0.02 plus 0.2 is 2.7. So it's 2 by 2 by 2.7. Right, finger breaths. Okay. And then kedetanya, like we learned in the Braisa, v'rachat, and how do you know? Kedetanya, like we learned in the Braisa, v'rachat b'mayim is kol b'saro, right? Yes, the person has to dip his whole body in water, right? Someone who needs to go to the mikveh to come tahor. Shalom yehi davar chotzeitz bein b'saro l'mayim, right? He needs to cover his entire body in water. B'mayim b'mein mikveh, and it has to be in the mikveh, right? It's called b'saro, mayim shekol gufa ola b'ayim. Right, and meaning his entire body, right, has to go in water, right? The water that he's dipping into needs to be able to cover, right, his entire body at once. You got to get all the way underneath. V'kamahein, how much is this? Ama al ama barum shalosh amos. Now, one ama by one ama by three amos. Meaning that if a person is assumed to be, if you look at just like a rotten toasters over here, ama al ama, so apparently he says that Adam Maxik in Begadav Ama Ba'ama. A person apparently is 1 by 1. That's the standard size of a person. If you look a little further, where is it? Okay, that's it. Then Barum Shalosh Amos. If you look at Tosos, Valvagav, the Komos Adam Shalosh Amos, below Harosh. Masrik Bekuchen Arba Amos, Bishvil Harosh. Okay, he explains that even though in general a person's height is 3 amos without the head, again, the standard Amma, right, so he still has a little bit more on top. Basically, the math goes that 2 by 2 by 2 at 0.7 finger breaths is a revius based on this calculation. I'm not sure how you get there. There's a lot of complicated math and a lot of geometry. If you look in the R scroll and also in the Masifta, you have a lot of calculations there. It's frankly over my head. But I am Shum, and if you understand this type of stuff, so call a kavod, and maybe you can give the shir and I'll listen to you if you put it up on YU Torah. Either way, so therefore, v'shiru chachamim mei mikvah barav b'msa. And that's how the chachamim got 40 saw. Apparently, if a person is 1 by 1 by 3 amos, the amount of water that you need for a person to dip his entire body into the mikvah at one point is 40 saw. Right? Apparently, that's that's the amount, that's how deep it has to be. Now, okay, so Amar Rav Ashi, I apologize again for less understanding of it, but I really, if you can see the long Rashi, the long Rashbam, and I tried, and I believe neither will try again. But that's all I got for right now. Amar Rav Asher, Rav Asher says, Amar Li Ravin Baruch Hinnah, Rav Hinnah explained that Shulchan Shal Mikdash Shal Prakim Hava. From here, this is how we understand that the Shulchan, right, in this week's Parsha, the Shulchan was made out of parts. Because if you'd have thought that it was attached together, meaning if it was full, right, it was complete piece, so amza amza hechi mitable, right? If how in the world could you dip it in a mikvah that was an amma by an amma? The Gemara explains that not here, but the Gemara explains elsewhere. I think in Yuma that there was a mikvah in the Beis Hamikdash just in terms of dipping purposes, but because we don't want to take up so much room, So it was a 1 by 1 by 3 amos, which is again 40 sa. That's how much, right? That's how much a mikvah you need. So if you're telling me now the shulchan itself was 1 amma by 2 amos by 1.5 amos high. Now if you're telling me it was 1 amma long, if that's true, if that was the measurement, so you couldn't get it in the 1 by 1 amma mikvah. Right, it wouldn't actually work. Right, that's what the Gemara says. Amsa ba'amsa hechi mitavli. Right, it was, at some point you run into the problem that the shulchan was 1 amma wide. How are you getting it in the mikvah? So it must be that the base of the shulchan came in attached parts, because otherwise you'd never be able to dip it in the mikvah if it became tameh. The Gemara says, "Oh, my kushya. No, it's not necessarily true, because Dilma b'yam shel Shlomo hava mat bilei, because maybe they in a chanami they wouldn't dip it in the mikvah in the Beis Hamikdash, but they dip it in the Yam Shel Shlomo, the Tani, which is a pool, a mikvah that Shlomo made. The Tani Rabbi Chia said that Yam Shel also Shlomo machzik mea v'chamisha mikvah tara, that Shlomo's pool, Shlomo's mikvah, was 150 mikvahs wide or big. So that's a lot. I mean, obviously, you could dip the entire kli in there, and then perhaps that's what they would do. Okay, now the Gemara shifts. The Gemara is dancing all over the place here, Baruch Hashem, to another topic, which is going to take us for a little bit. And this is the topic of, we're going to start with zugos of pears, but it's going to kind of delve into other topics of things that are dangerous, evil spirits, magic, witchcraft, demons, sorcery, etc., etc. And it just behooves us to mention the Machlokes Rishonim in terms of the validity of such things. The Rambam's Shita is famous that he holds that there was no such thing as sorcery, demons, none of this stuff, black magic, v'chule. And he says that anything that looked like that or that seemed to be like that was merely cheap parlor tricks. And an attempt to get people to either worship that stuff or kind of give people money or etc., to, let's say, you know, steal from people and coerce them to follow them, maybe, whatever. The Rambam holds that there's no such thing. Almost everybody else, headed by the Ramban and many, many other Rishonim, hold that certainly there was / is such forces in the world. Nowadays, we don't have any sensitivity to it because of Yiridas Hadoros, and simply when the Kedusha goes down, so the counterbalance of Tuma also goes down. So since we're in a less holy state than we used to be, so we simply are not sensitive, and there's less of a need for such forces to show their power in the world. Again, because the world needs balance, and when you have a tremendous amount of Kedusha, so you have to have a tremendous amount of Tuma, counterbalancing it, simply, you know, again, to provide the same idea as free will, right? A person has to have, this is delving into Ashkavash here, but if a person needs to have free will, so he has to be able to choose good versus evil, right, equally. If it was overwhelmingly easy for him to choose good, that wouldn't be free will. And also, if it was overwhelmingly easy for him to choose bad. So same thing, whenever there's whatever level of Kedusha there is in the world, so there's an equal parts Tumah. So nowadays, since we're not as holy, we read the Sadaras, we're not sensitive, we don't have, we don't tap into those Kedusha levels, and certainly there's no need and no, I don't know if it doesn't exist anymore, but at least we're not aware of it on a real level for these inappropriate, and not inappropriate, but impure and evil kochos. Now, but back then, certainly it did. According to the Ramban, all this stuff existed. The Torah even, it's, you know, says in Parshas Achrimos that you shouldn't sacrifice to Seirim. Seirim are not goats. They are goats in some places, but Seirim are demons. The Torah acknowledges that that shouldn't happen. Either way, there's a long discussion about that stuff. But Lamaisa, that's the machlokes between the Rambam and, let's say, the Ramban and everybody else, on the other hand, as to whether all these evil forces existed. So with that in mind, let's take the let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says lo yifklusu lo me'arba. The Gemara says we have dalakosos. So the Gemara says a very simple question: Heichi mitakni rabbana midi dasli de sakana. How in the world could the chachamim be mitakin dalakosos, right, vinder rabbanan? How could they set up four cups of wine that will bring a person to a sakana? What kind of sakana? What danger is there? So Vatani will end in a resa. Lo yochal adam trei, v'lo yishta trei, v'lo yikaneach trei, v'lo yeshat tzrachet trei. A person shouldn't do things in pairs. You shouldn't eat two things together, two meals together, two items together. You shouldn't drink two cups in a row. He shouldn't, yikaneach is to wipe himself. He shouldn't go to the bathroom twice in a row and wipe himself like that. V'lo yashat tzrachet, and he shouldn't be with his wife twice. Right? There's a danger. For whatever reason, there was some sort of evilness of doing things in pairs. One of the opinions, I forget already, maybe Derech Hashem, maybe Ramchal writes in Derech Hashem, that it was rooted in the fact that we want to have, right, Judaism is a religion of monotheism. And anytime you do something in pairs, that's almost kind of a rejection of that monotheism. Almost like you're admitting that there's one cup for Kadosh Baruch Hu and Rachman Litzlan, God forbid, one cup for, I don't know, whatever other demigod type thing you're talking about. So that's perhaps one explanation of the danger of pairs. But Lamaisa, the Bryce says that doing things in pairs were dangerous. And so how could you have four cups of wine? That's obviously two pairs of two. So Amar Rav Nachman, so there can be a bunch of answers. We'll just see a couple of them. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kroh. Well, I guess we can see the other one. I think, are there more tomorrow? All right, let's, I don't know. Let's see at least on top of, to Kufi of Amar Aleph. Amar Rav Nachman, says, Amar Kroh, Leil Shimurim. Famous pasuk, right? We don't say Kriyashma Alamita. So because Leil Shimurim, it's a night of being Shamur, being watched over. Leil Hamashumar. Right, Akash Baruch Hu watches over us and keeps us safe from mazikin, from the damaging forces, whether that be demons or whatever, etc. Rava, Amar Rava says another answer. Koshel bracha mitzarf l'tova, avinu mitzarf l'ra. At the third cup, koshel bracha, referred to this, the bracha of Birkas Hamazon, as the koshel bracha before. The Rashbam has a language, not koshel bracha, but if you look at the bottom, his girsa is koshel Birkas Hamazon, so it says it straight out. But either way, the third cup, it does not combine for bad things. Right? So it almost doesn't count. Right? It's not going to complete the pairs for sakana. Right? So if you drink it with the fourth one. Right? So you're going to end up drinking three cups and not four cups, technically, because the third cup does not combine for bad things. Ravina, because again, it's a koshal bracha, it's a koshal mitzvah, that's not going to combine to create a bad situation. Ravina says, Amar arba kasi tikin rabanan, perhaps the most obvious answer that we might not have, that at least occurred to me initially when I learned this, that there are four cups of wine, derechirus kol chad v'chad mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Right, each one is a mitzvah on its own. It's a mitzvah, meaning it's not four cups, it's four individual cups. Right, that's exactly what we're doing. Right, as Rashi says, pain mitzvah and zelazeh. Right, we don't they don't combine. It's not four cups. It's four individuals. It's one, 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 and one. It's not two pairs of two. Because again, we're doing all these different mitzvos with those cups. Right, you have one cup for kiddush. You have one cup for, let's say, hallel or magid. I guess magid at the end of it, or I guess we drink it in the middle of hallel. Okay, either way, one cup for benching and then one cup at the end. Right, for that's really by hallel nirtza, but. We're doing different things with these cups. It's not like you're drinking them in pairs. Right? You just it happens to be four of them, but they're four different individual mitzvahs, and you don't combine them two. Okay, fine. Either way, we'll go back there in the Hail Gishas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.